there's a couple of things that are on here that we didn't talk about, and like where, what about the dinosaurs, what happened to them, and so on, that I kind of skipped over just for the interest of time. That was about as accelerated as I've ever done it. I cut 25 minutes off of that presentation. What is, scary, isn't it? What's your impression regarding the find at Glen Rose, Texas, and they mean the human footprints in the Paluxy River Basin, where a human footprint is superimposed in the footprint of a dinosaur? Did humans and dinosaurs live simultaneously? Those are two questions. Did humans and dinosaurs live simultaneously? Yes, I believe that. I don't believe they lived at the same place. People forget that. If you look at the Earth as we know it today, it has a bunch of different biomes within the biosphere with different assemblages of plants and animals depending on the climate. And I just simply don't believe, I'm not sure that we wouldn't ever find fossil dinosaurs with humans, but I think the likelihood is that they were not living in the same place for the most part, and that's the reason we don't find them together. And that means you have to take seriously the destruction of that universal flood, right? But that's a matter of faith. I have that faith. With reference to the one at Glen Rose, I was absolutely convinced by that when I saw the movie Footprints in Stone that came out. And as I have studied that and watched the further research that has been done, I pretty much believe that those are not human footprints, that they are dinosaur footprints. Now, some people are still tied to that, and that's fine. I wish the research had been done in a slightly different way. And now all of that stuff is sort of washed away. What was actually studied originally is no longer there. It's gone. Was not preserved. So I don't hang my faith on that one particular thing. God is all powerful. There's nothing that he cannot do. He made the earth with age. There are several statements like this. So they aren't necessarily, most of them are not actually questions. But what it boils down to is an argument that has been made by many creationists over the years, and that is that if God created the earth, it would have been created with an apparent age. Adam would have been created as a full-grown man. And believe it or not, they have seriously debated whether or not Adam and Eve had navels. That's been a serious discussion that I put just pretty much in the classification of how many angels can dance on the head of a pin. Do I believe Adam and Eve were real and they appeared to be older? Yes, I do, from the minute they were created. Do I believe that the garden appeared older? Yes, it had trees in it. Just think about, if they were big trees, they might have appeared like 100 or 200-year-old trees. Do you see that? Not only that, but you can't have things growing in a garden without a soil profile, and you only get about an inch of topsoil every 100 years. So even the soil itself is evidence of things having apparent age. Where I draw the line is that God put into the rocks fossils of organisms that never, ever existed. To me, then that becomes almost deceptive. It's like God gave us a rational mind, and then he put evidence there that would make us conclude that the earth was very ancient. And that seems to me to be a deception. That seems to be so out of the character of God that I simply can't accept that. So you have to be very, very careful with this idea of the apparent age. You know, were the stars, when they were created, did the light shine? Yes, immediately the light had crossed all of the light years of space. That should have taken a very long time. But if you're not careful, you end up with the idea of trying to explain away some of these fossils, like dinosaurs and so on the basis that you put their bones in the rocks to make the rocks look old. Was not a necessary thing for man to exist in the garden. I can't imagine God doing that and then telling us to reason from his creative power, or to come to a conclusion about his creative power from his creation. I have trouble with it. Do you believe God is spirit? And if so, do you believe man was created as the mirror or image of God? Well, of course I do. And he was created with a body, you know. But he was created within the earthly cocoon that we live in. You know, we've talked about this before, and that is that, you know, this, it depends on what level you look at this pulpit, but at one level, this pulpit is almost entirely space. Because the distance between the electrons and the nuclei of every atom that is in this thing is vast. And yet to us it appears to be very, very solid. So God has created us to look a certain way, and in His image, I think, refers far more to our spirituality than it does to a physical body. You've stated that many of the things given by creationist authors are incorrect about dating. Do you know which creationist websites, etc., to believe, which are credible? Well, all I can say is that if you got the time, go check out the sources they're talking about. If they talk about some general evolutionist, go read the article that the general evolutionist wrote. You know? I mean, it's the simplest thing. It's very, very embarrassing to quote something and then find out that you're a liar. And for years, I quoted some of that stuff from the Creation Research Society. And with all due respect, I've talked to Henry Morris personally. He doesn't believe in my concept and the whole concept of separating general from special evolution. He doesn't believe that Darwin was right. He doesn't believe that there are any new species, nor, as far as I know, does anybody who is affiliated with the Creation Research Society at all. I was just told that from the person who wrote the book called The Genesis Flood. Is there any biblical evidence as to man and dinosaurs living at the same time? I've already explained that. Whether the Leviathan, the Leviathan, however you want to pronounce it, was that dinosaur, or whether it's a huge crocodile, I don't know. I really don't know. But I know that it was big. I know that it was big. Goliath lived. He was big. You know, there were races of men that were huge, and we know that from the biblical context, and I think eventually we'll find some of that. There's one that is particularly interesting, and the person who wrote this, I hope that you will come up afterwards, because I really appreciate what you've written here. I'm going to wait for a minute before I read it. If Darwin's species, finches are considered to be different species due to not being able to breed among the different types, are the various types of dogs shown on the slides the other evening not different species, or are they, since they can interbreed? No, they're not considered to be different species. They are all considered to be the same species. Because they can interbreed and produce fertile offspring. And they are all being manipulated through artificial selection. Part of the problem is that sometimes we make things different species and we don't have a way to test that. For instance, there are some trees that are considered to be different species from our trees living in Europe, but when they actually did the genetic studies, they found out that they were fertile with one another and could produce fertile offspring, but they don't live in the same place. They never come in contact with one another, and so we have called them different species. But the working definition for species is that it is organisms that can interbreed, produce fertile offspring. Understanding that you believe that God created the universe, do you believe in some way the Big Bang still may have occurred? I don't really have a lot of problem with the Big Bang. You know, whatever happened, you know, the earth was without form and void at the point that God created. There are difficulties with that, though. You know, because it talks about the creation of the stars and the moon and the sun. And in the Big Bang, you would have to assume that those things were already there, wouldn't you? So it almost comes down to this thing about trying, you know, being very careful about mixing your science with your religion. I don't know how long the universe was in existence before the creation week. Some people believe that there was a gap between Genesis 1 and 2. And I have kind of leaned that way, but I also recognize some of the problems with that. So I hope that that answers that. Wish I could answer all the questions, but I actually don't have it all figured out. Do you believe in the past God perhaps created all the continents together as one landmass and they have somehow drifted apart as they are now? Personally, yes. I think that Pangaea was true and continental drift is true. I don't believe the time scale is correct. I think it could have happened in a much more rapid fashion, and I have my own reasons for believing that. How do scientists answer the question of what came before the beginning? Same way you and I do. We believe that God always was and is and always will be. And, you know, nobody really knows how to address that question. It's almost impossible as a human to think of nothing before. It's just almost impossible. It's kind of like laying on the back of your car and looking up at the stars and thinking, well, let's just put a wall at the end of the universe, and then you realize there's something on the other side of the wall. In about 10 minutes, you'll get off the top of your car and stop that because it'll just drive you nuts. Is there any geologic evidence for the Great Flood? Well, it depends on who you're talking to. Some people believe that a lot of the evidence that we see in the geologic timetable and the geologic column is the result of that Genesis flood. All right, so some people would believe that there was this catastrophe. All right, one thing that I found out about geologists is that at one point they didn't want to ever talk about a catastrophe, some kind of catastrophe. Everything was uniform, very slow. Mountains were built at the same slow pace that they are now, and they were torn down at the same slow pace. No catastrophes, no short-term stuff. And then, to be honest with you, if you start even 30 years ago, they began questioning that. And I remember John Clark quoting the references on it. It's not something that I've used, but John certainly did. And I'm just going to say one more time that I don't know what would have happened to my faith if John had not been where he was at the right time for me. You know, And I'm going to make a point to you about that. And that is, you have no idea who you are affecting and whether you are there at just the right time for them. Take seriously your interactions with other people and what kind of influence you could be. So anyway, he read a whole series of quotes saying that at one of the geologic conferences, they said, you know, uniformitarianism isn't cutting it. This slow stuff isn't cutting it. We need to add catastrophes back, but we just can't go the biblical direction. And he would read quotes about that.